A real prophet of God is unpopular because he opposes the popular in the morality of his day and in the spirituality of God's people. That has been perverted and corrupted by preachers who have lowered the standards of God's holiness down to the level of the world and let the world flood in among the saints of God. God's true prophet faces God before he faces men, and the truth he pronounces for God brings torment to the rebels in the church and of his generation. A real prophet of God is against entrenched bigotry in the ministry and all the systems of religion, but he is sent with God's message of freedom and restoration. God's prophet does not preach and warn to draw men to himself, but to move men back to God where they belong to be, and they were created to live for God and not ever in sin to rust. God never made man to decay and rust in sin and worldliness. God made man on the scale of eternal things, and God wants us to walk with him on the frontiers of faith, of which most people today have denied the faith. They're afraid to trust God because something in their hearts tell them that there's something wrong in their lives because they haven't adjusted to the holiness of God, but rather they've retrenched themselves into the worldliness and the lifestyle that is degraded and debauchable and libertine in God's sight, that the church has condoned and submitted to in the face of stiff opposition. A true man of God buckles under no opposition, and his voice is like a volcano in the midst of soothsaying preachers. A real man of God, a prophet, is rejected of men, even other good men, because they consider him too negative and too unsociable in his lifestyle. But he doesn't let that bother him. He has to continue on and let God's favor, in spite of all the unpopularity, be his leaning post, knowing that one man with God is a majority. And if he's popular with God, he has the right backing. Praise God, and he doesn't worry about his popularity poll. Popular preachers are not ordained of God. God raises prophets in obscurity. A true prophet of God will be dogmatic. In every word of God, he'll know no exceptions. He rejects no part of the word of God. He won't explain it away. It says what it means, and it means what it says. A true prophet of God is a product of the organized church, the discipline, the doctrine, but not the politics of the elders nor their traditions. Is he associated with, or does he really submit to? He resists systems of religion. He resists the politics among the preachers and the traditions of the elders, but he grew up in a system that disciplined his life in the organized church world, that he might come back like Jephthah in Judges 11 when they cast Jephthah out because he didn't meet their qualifications in the time of great trouble. The church elders sent for Jephthah and says, come back and rule us and lead us and you'll be head and captain over us. Those things are yet to happen. We're seeing the church today, the ministry of the church, being decimated through preachers that fall victim to this old spirit of lust, to these Jezebels that get in the church and tempt the preachers with their little garbs they wear, with their little sexual and Hollywood fashions, and bring the preachers down to being nothing more than mere men. And when a man of God walks like an ordinary man, he becomes an ordinary man with men and God both. Samson was pulled down because of Delilah. The church today is full of Delilahs, and they're pulling preachers down by the scores. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Samson found out to his demise and tragedy that when he began to live like an ordinary man, he was an ordinary man, and he fell victim to the devil's plot to overthrow that great man of God that God had raised to be a deliverer. So are we seeing it again invade the church with these lust-filled women that preachers tolerate. But I want to tell you something. A real prophet of God will preach and prove by the scriptures, not visions, that the church will be purged in 3 1/2 years of the tribulation period. And God is going to take us out for purging and bring the church into the unity of the faith as the early church was, and declare unto them their sins and transgressions to bring about repentance and restoration that will bring divine favor and a unification that will be based totally upon the Word of God and not the compromise of what we're seeing here in our bewildering generation. May God help us to hold on to the truth. In Matthew 23, verses 1 and 2, this is the tragedy that's unfolding in the church today. Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you see headquarters and you see the bishop's chair filled, chairs filled with imposters, not real men of God, it's going to bring about a tragedy to God's people. In the day of Jesus, the church had a man in Moses' seat that ought not to have been in Moses' seat where a prophet should have been. There should have been a prophet of God in Moses' seat. But there wasn't a prophet of God in Moses' seat. And there's no prophet of God in Moses' seat today. And that's a tragedy. And it is going to be a greater tragedy than we can imagine. We've got to recognize the fact of what's happening here in this end time generation. We look for men that are compromisers, men that have price tags, men that will submit to all kind of influences and not the direction of God and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. A man of God will always go before God, because before he faces men, in the truth that he pronounces and stands for, he's going to cause other men to tremble around him. They're going to feel something different even when they get around him. And his popularity is going to be many times questioned. But popularity is not what God's looking for in a man of God. He's looking for a man that is uncompromising, unyielding, unbending. Like they sing the song, some of the quartets sing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't burn. Praise God. No compromise. No turning back. No accepting the will of the people. We read back in 1 Samuel 15 about Saul, the great king that was head and shoulders physically above all the other men in Israel, a great man. When he began his government, the first monarchy of Israel, the Bible said he was little in his own sight. He was sensitive to God. He was obedient to the voice of Samuel, the prophet of God. But let me tell you something happened to that man after 2 years. He got big in his own eyes. And then we read over in the 15th chapter, there he was inaugurated or set on the throne in the 10th chapter. By the time we get to the 15th chapter of the book of Samuel, we find God sent him out on a mission with a real responsibility the prophet had told him that was his in destroying the Amalekites. And this charge was given him by the prophet Samuel. You utterly destroy Amalek, for God remembers what they did to Israel. The church of old, when they came out of Egypt, the called out ones of the Lord, how he smote the hindermost of them, how he slew your poor and those weak and those women and those children, how he would attack and slay them and created all this these problems for you coming through the wilderness. God remembers those atrocities that were committed by the tribe of Amalek. Now one of them completely extinct under heaven. When Saul came back, he brought the king, he brought some others, he brought the sheep, the oxen. Samuel went out to meet him and said, "Have you obeyed the voice of the Lord?" He said, "Yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord." The prophet said, "Why do I hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle?" He said, "I save these to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, God has rejected you." And here, listen to the plea in verse 24 from Saul. He says, "I was afraid of the people and obeyed their voice." That's what preachers listen to today. They listen to people and they're not listening to God.